Hey, everybody. Welcome to the SOCAP Improv Comedy Podcast. This is a podcast about improvisation, improv for the stage, improv comedy, not music. And it's for people who have an interest in improv on the stage as a performance, but more, or at least as equally as important or relevant to people who are thinking about improv and how it can impact and affect your daily life. Because the ways it can do that are legion, and we will get into those. That's the main part of this podcast. Improv. What is it? Why should I care? What's in it for me? Because of all audiences, we're all selfish, and that's the place to start, is what's in it for me. So this is the first podcast, the inaugural one. And so I'll start with a little bit about me, who I am. So my name is Ralph. I'm Ralph McLeod. I am the owner and artistic director of the SOCAP Comedy Theater. That's in Toronto, Ontario. Formerly, I was one of the founders of the Bad Dog Theater Company, which still exists and runs in Toronto. And that has a very long history going back to the 80s when it was Theater Sports Toronto. And I have been an improviser for my entire adult life. I walked into a Commedia dell'arte class in, I think, around 1988. And fell in love with the idea of making stuff up on stage in front of people. So I started as an actor and worked in professional theater for a hot minute. Didn't like it. I was really bummed because, well, I'd spent a lot of time and effort to get there. And then once I was doing it, I didn't like it. I found rehearsals fun, but being in front of an audience, doing the same thing every night, wasn't for me. And anyway, so I found improv, and that's what I do. So and I've been doing it my entire life. I teach many nights a week. I own the SOCAP Comedy Theater in Toronto, and out of that I teach sometimes up to 7 classes a week. I have a Zoom class on Wednesdays that's available for people anywhere on the planet. If anything you hear on here resonates with you, by all means, come and check that out if you are not in Toronto. If you are, I have a bunch of classes that I teach on Thursday nights. I teach a performance class strictly or more geared towards people who want to get up on stage and perform improv comedy because it's so much fun and brilliant. When it's great, it's like anything. When it's great, it's it can be magical, transformative. When it's bad, it's horrendous. And we'll talk about what makes good and bad improv. I mean, that's a subjective thing, but so more about, we will talk in detail about things that will make improv more successful, increase your chances of getting up on stage and, you know, being found entertaining, which is, I think, what we all want to do, make people laugh, be the center of attention, show off, whatever thing it is for you. We will talk in detail about what makes good improv on stage, but also how those skills are transferable to life. The same things that make improvisers get on stage and make people laugh also can help make you be a more likable person. It can help you understand why human beings act the way they do. And also an exploration of yourself and who you are. And as I said, we'll get into all of this in great detail as the hopefully weeks, months, and years go on. And on Friday night, I teach a class called Improv for Stage and Life. And that's kind of a hybrid. That's a class for people who want to perform, but also people who have been taking improv generally for a while, but not always. Some people are brand new and want to figure out how to apply these techniques to everyday life, how to change our defaults, how to say yes more often, how to push up against the edges of our comfort zone, how to get out of our comfort zone if that's what you're looking to do. I don't like that expression, because I don't want to be out of my comfort zone. I like to push up against the edges of it and expand it, make things that were sort of uncomfortable at one point more comfortable and part of my life, if that's what I'm looking to do. You know, if talking to people is something that fills you with a certain level of anxiety, well, we role play talking to people and, you know, do it so often that it becomes easier, hopefully. And out in the real world becomes easier because you've a lot of practice at it. Saturday, we teach 2 classes here. The early one is improv for social skills, which is about, again, using the techniques of improv to help us talk to people, overcome our self-consciousness, improve our self-confidence, how to be in the moment, be present, how to really listen, because that's something that as human beings we don't do very often or very well. And at 5 o'clock we do a class, improv for new friends, and that is a very casual class, usually filled with beginners or people who are very new to improv. That's a great place to start, and it is about breaking down barriers to communication, improving communication, and forging communities. It's a lovely way to get into improv, and it's one of my favorite classes to teach. On Sundays, we do 8-week classes as well. So there's drop-ins. Those are casual classes, one-offs, you know, pay as you go, if that's what you want. And then we also have committed classes that run for 8 weeks. The sort of benefit of doing a committed class is that you are with the same group of people over an 8-week, 7-week span with the same teacher. So there's growth, there's development, there's real bonding. I mean, if you do improv someone for 6 months, you know, you become close to those people. So lifelong relationships and friendships form in classes quite frequently, not always, but quite frequently they do. And then on Monday I work with a group in New York. So I teach a lot. I've definitely done my 10,000 hours of improv. If that makes me an expert, knock on wood, I will. Thank you. I live my life by the improv principles that I teach, and there's a lot of philosophy in improv, a lot of psychology, which we will deal in depth. So today, as just a kickoff into what we're doing, I thought I would just talk about improv itself. What is it, and why do I care? So when I think of improv, I think many things, but the first one is that it's a medium or an artistic form that is not recorded very well. And because it's not recorded on digitally or analog, however, it doesn't exist in the public consciousness the way other art forms do. Like if we think about great actors, whether Meryl Streep or Robert De Niro, or those people are your favorites, you know who they are, probably. And we have an idea in our heads what acting is. What we consider acting today, that sort of heightened realism is the style, didn't always exist, right? It's about 100 years old, that style of acting. And prior to that, it was different styles. And if we went back and looked at a play that was happening in 1880, you'd think it was bonkers, probably. You wouldn't understand it, wouldn't like it. It'd be very different, probably. And so we all understand what acting is, right? Music. Oh, what kind of music? Country music. Okay, I know what that is. The idea, even if I don't listen to it, I understand what that is. And that's a country song. If I hear it, I'll know what it is. So it exists in the public consciousness. We all kind of agree as to what these things are and these formats are. Improv is not like that. Because it's not recorded, there's no real one way of doing it. There's nothing stopping anybody who's never seen an improv class or done any improv putting up a shingle and saying, I'm an improv teacher, and they can teach it. And that's totally valid. So it's thing about improv is that what the things that make it the boon is the bane. The things that are sort of limiting about it are also amazing about it, and that's one of them. In that it's the Wild West, in that it's wide open. Yeah. Anybody can come in and do whatever they want. And if you go to different places in the world and see improv, there'll be some similarities for sure, but there's also a lot of differences. Even within Toronto itself, you know, even within different improv teachers within the same school, we have discussions and arguments. And a lot of it comes down to language and words we use, which is another limiting thing about it. What someone will say, this is yes and, someone else will call agreement, and they're both right. And then they might mean slightly different things, but generally they're in agreement, concordant with what they mean. So, improv, what is it? Well, to me, it is... there's many different definitions of it. One is just making stuff up. You know, that's a great definition of improv, just making stuff up. Opening your mouth and stuff comes out. I have students, when I ask them what they think improv is, they go like, they improv every day of my life. And I guess if that's what you consider it, I don't. I consider we go through our lives mostly on default and on autopilot and just kind of do stuff that were habits, right? But, that's one idea of what improv is. To me, improv is like the Tao, in that the further in you go, the deeper it gets, like the ocean, right? The more you go into it, the more you put into it, the more you will get out of it. So I like a definition of that. It's play. It's imaginative play is to me what it is. And what I teach are best practices to really let us engage in play with other human beings. And when I mean play, I'm talking about the kind of imaginative play we had as children, like not sports, because the thing about real play and the way I use it is that there has to be no stakes, right? There's no winner or loser. We all win. The analogy, the rising tide raises all boats. That's true in improv. Like the more I can play, the more I can give to my scene partner, the more I'll get back from that person. And so in that way, it's really about communicating and bonding and being part of something that's bigger than just yourself. Human beings, we're hardwired to want to be part of something, you know, whether that's a religious organization, clubs, groups, family. We all love that. You know, we're social creatures, and improv lets you do that. That's what it is. So another definition that I really like is it's individuals, two or more generally, who are creating a game, creating the rules of that game, and engaging in that game all in real time, moment to moment, without discussing it, right? And that's tough. It's a hard thing to do. Anyway, that's what I think improv is. And then I just want to touch a little bit today on why should I care? Like what's in it for me if I don't want to get on stage? Like I'm not Tina Fey. I'm never going to be Tina Fey. So why should I take improv just in my general life? Well, that's a very good question. And that's, I mean, honestly, for me, I think it should be taught in school. I think everybody should have a chance to experience improv and learn it, because that would help us understand ourselves, human beings, helps us build empathy. Just a quick example, like if you are someone who doesn't have children, well, you can improvise where you are a parent, and you can have a child. You can sort of see what that's like and maybe gain an understanding into what the world of someone who does have children is like. Similarly, you know, if you had a good relationship with your parents, you can play scenes where you have a bad relationship with your parent, you know, and it's all pretend, it's all make-believe. But as it's improvising and we are using ourselves, a lot of our own stuff comes up. You know, that's one of the things we're trying to tap into is who are you really? We're not this collection of nouns that we put beside us, you know, like husband or wife or father, mother, you know, programmer, Christian, atheist, whatever. Like we're not, that's sort of who we are, but it's not deep down who we really are. Like, what are our morals? What do we really believe in? You know, that's what we try to get at is, who am I? And, you know, I don't have a lot of time here, so I want to figure that out. The journey of life to me is figuring out who you are, you know, gaining enlightenment, letting go of all the stuff, all the baggage that you want to let go of, and focusing on what's really important. And that's what, there's a lot of, as I said, philosophy and psychology, and a lot of stoicism in improv, you know. Stoics, one of the hallmarks of stoicism is control what you can control and let go of the rest. And in improv, we really have to do that. You really have to let go and try not to control your scene partner. Or if you are someone who has the opposite, who likes to cede control to other people, you can't do that either. You've got to step up a little bit. So people who are overbearing can learn how to let go a little bit. People who are more laissez-faire, shall we say, can learn how to get some control and be part of something. You know, it is when we improvise, we really are as strong as our weakest link. And so we like to bring everybody up and have everybody participate and everybody be part of something, so that when it's over, we can all look back at it and go like, we did that. And now we have an experience that we've shared that will bond us quite a while. You know, it's always interesting to watch when you have a really good show and how just nobody wants to leave. Or a really good class, and everybody just wants to hang around. They want that feeling to last. And that's what improv can give you. It can give you that sense of community. It can give you an understanding into yourself. It can help you build empathy for other people. It can put you in touch with who you truly are. It can help you overcome a lot of the things we've been taught about communication, which in my experience, were not just wrong, But exactly wrong. And we'll get to lots and lots and lots of stuff like that. So this podcast will come out once a week. It's going to be a bite-sized podcast of between 5 to 20 minutes, my plan. Occasionally, I will probably have some guests on and talk in depth on certain topics. I will do a full history of the improv scene in Toronto, which I get asked a lot about. And since I've been involved in, well, most of it, well over, I think, 3/4 of it, I guess. There's a lot there, a lot of really interesting stuff. And how we got here. Anyway, I hope you'll join me on this journey. I'm going to keep it short so that it can be bite-sized and you can listen to it on your way to work and when you're working out at the gym or anywhere else. Please send me questions. You can reach me at ralph@socap.ca. That's Ralph, and SoCap is S as in Sam, O as in Oscar, C as in Charles, A as in Apple, P as in Peter.ca for Canada. It's where I am, my home and native land. And and I look forward to going on this journey. I'm super excited. This is long overdue, and I'm glad it's finally happening. Anyway, have a great week, and come back. We'll see you here next week. Take care. Bye.